Chapter 3. When Silas Marner appeared in the pub, Mr. Snell was very surprised.
"What are you doing here, Mr. Marner?" he asked. "You're wet through. Come and sit by the fire."
There were tears running down Silas's face.
"Did you steal my money?"
he shouted at Mr. Lammeter.
"No,"
replied Mr. Lammeter. "Certainly not."
"What about you?"
said Silas. He pointed to another man.
"It wasn't me,"
said the man. The men started to get angry because Silas was trying to blame them.
"Mr. Marner, are you sure your money has disappeared?" asked Mr. Snell.
He didn't want arguments in his pub.
"Of course I'm sure," cried Silas. "I have nothing left. They took everything I had in the world."
"We'll help you find the thief," said the men. But they didn't really believe they had a chance. Meanwhile, Godfrey returned to the Red House. He expected to find Dunstan with the money for Wildfire, but nobody in the house knew where he was.
"He went out on Wildfire this morning," said Godfrey's youngest brother.
"But I'm sure he hasn't come back."
"Then where are they?"
asked Godfrey. "I'm going to the Rainbow to ask if anyone has seen them." He was very worried. When Godfrey entered the pub, he was surprised to see Silas Marner. He was sitting by the fire, looking miserable. The villagers stood around him. They looked confused and didn't notice Godfrey, so he sat quietly and listened to the conversation.
"Maybe the thief was that traveller who was here last week," suggested Dr. Kimball.
"I'm sure it wasn't a local," said Lammeter. Silas said nothing, and slowly the villagers started to talk about other things.
"Did you see Dunstan today?" Godfrey asked Bryce.
"Yes. He sold me his horse, Wildfire," Bryce replied.
"He was my horse," said Godfrey sadly.
"Oh, I guessed he might be yours," said Bryce.
He laughed loudly.
"I don't know why you trust your brother."
Godfrey said nothing. "Dunstan was going to deliver Wildfire tomorrow," said Bryce. "But I think something's happened." Bryce turned to the men in the pub.
"Has anyone seen Dunstan or Wildfire today?"
"I saw Dunstan earlier on a horse," said Mr. Snell.
"He was riding it too fast."
"I saw a dead horse on the road," said Dr. Kimball. "A brown one. He had a branch through his chest."
"What?"
said Godfrey.
He was shocked. "Was it Wildfire? Then where's Dunstan?" he asked.
"Good question," replied Bryce. "Where is Dunstan?"
Godfrey didn't say another word, but he left the pub as soon as he could. As he walked home, Godfrey thought about his many problems.
"I have no money. I have no horse. I have a guilty secret, and I cannot marry the woman I love. I'm not a bad man. How did I get into this situation? What can I do now? Maybe I should tell my father everything. Then Dunstan could not control me."
The next morning, Godfrey decided to be honest with his father. He found Squire Cass in the garden.
"I need to tell you something, father," he said.
"You asked about the rent that Fowler paid last month."
"Well, Fowler paid that money to me," said Godfrey.
"Then where is it, boy?"
asked his father impatiently.
"I gave it to Dunstan," said Godfrey.
"Why did you give it to him?"
asked his father. Godfrey was too scared to tell his father the truth now, so he replied,
"Dunstan made me."
"Are you mad, boy? He's your younger brother. Send Dunstan to me right now,"
said Squire Cass.
"Dunstan hasn't come home, father," said Godfrey. "I don't know where he is."
"I don't understand you, boys," said Squire Cass angrily. "I give you everything, a beautiful home, all the money you need, and you lie to me. And why don't you marry the girl, that poor girl, Nancy Lammeter?"
"I will, father," said Godfrey, "as soon as I can."
And he quickly walked away. Every year, Squire Cass held a New Year's Eve party, and Godfrey was looking forward to seeing Nancy there. It was snowing when she arrived, and he helped her take off her coat.
"Nancy, you look beautiful this evening," he said. "I hope you'll dance with me."
"I hope to dance with many young men,"
replied Nancy coolly. She didn't want to wait for Godfrey any longer. All the guests enjoyed themselves at the party, but nobody knew that outside the house a young woman was carrying a little girl and planning to find Godfrey. She was Molly Farren, Godfrey's wife, and she was carrying his little daughter. "I'm going to find him tonight," thought Molly. "I won't be silent any longer." She was cold in the snow, so she took the last of her opium and carried on. She was tired, and the opium in her body made her legs feel heavy. She started to feel warmer and very sleepy. She slowly fell to the ground, but she took care to hold her little girl tight and to keep her safe.